So I'm sorry if you feel smothered with paper, but as well as the service sheet, there are three handouts, so do grab those. And Luke is kindly coming around with some pens so that you can make some notes. And also, you'll probably see on the other handouts, there are some things to fill in, so I'll talk a bit more about those at the appropriate time. At the Anlaby Churches, we're a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus across the Anlaby communities and beyond. We love Jesus, we're excited by Jesus, we see Jesus as our hope, our joy, our life. We long for others to come to know him for themselves and receive the life he gives and be passionate about him. And we're a community. We've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit around the throne of Jesus, who rules us by his word. And each year, we pause to ask the question, what might God have in store for us this year? Where might he be leading us as a church? And we're going to do that today at the start of 2025. We tend to adopt a new vision every 2 years. In the second year, we adapt it slightly. We've just finished a two-year cycle, so we're at the point of thinking about something new. And so for the last few months, the church councils have been seeking God as to where he might be leading us, what he might want us to focus on this year. And I'm going to share where we've got to. You can see the proposed vision halfway down the first page of the handout. So I'll read it out. To prayerfully live as salt and light in the Anlaby communities, seeking to develop a culture of invitation and welcome, and to make connections wherever we are able. We'll come to that in a few minutes. Before that, we're just going to look back on 2024 and what God's been doing. We'll think briefly about what it says in the handout, new approaches. We'll come to our passage that Sarah just read to us, and then we'll go to where God might be calling us in the coming year. So, brief look back at 2024. You'll know I've said before, we had a couple of quite difficult years, 2022, 2023, but actually there was lots to give thanks for, to God for in 2024. We welcomed a number of new people into the churches, some of whom moved into the area, others came to faith and settled down with us. St. Mark's Community Church began to think of ourselves as a missional community, and the leadership were blessed by being part of a huddle led by Eleanor and Tim Sanderson. WOW went from strength to strength and developed in the evening into Deep, which has been a huge blessing to lots of people already. Connect Cafe and the Community Garden continue to flourish, and in September we were able to restart Children's Church. We've been blessed by having Jack and Sarah and Peter and Suzanne join us. And we also, you might remember back in April, we adopted some new values. What sort of defines us as a church, our DNA, if you like. And that's on the appendix at the end of the handout, if you want to be reminded of that. Looking below the surface, we've been focusing for a number of years on developing a loving gospel culture, and that has been bearing fruit. On Christmas Day, just for example, a visitor said to me, this is the best Christmas service I've ever been to. It's obvious how people really love each other, and that was really encouraging to hear. And lots of people have been working really hard behind the scenes in all sorts of areas, admin, buildings, teaching ministry, pastoral care, worship, children and youth, and so on, and I praise God for that. It's also worth noting God seems to be at work across the nation at the moment. Numbers of people, particularly young people, are having visions or turning up at a local church wanting to find out more about Jesus. We've had a few people come to us in that way. At a meeting I was at recently, one national leader described it as low-level revival. And we praise God for that, and we long for more. Having said all of that, we're still in a fairly precarious position. The church council, or church councils, are currently seeking to agree a financial budget for 2025, which will confirm that our current costs are significantly higher than our current income. Some of us may not be aware that we need to cover our costs as a church, staff costs, including the cost of me, building costs, and so on. There's no sort of magic money tree out there with the Church of England or whatever. And at present, we're falling quite a long way short of that. We're also short in terms of people carrying out different roles. The most obvious aspect of that is that we don't have a church warden at St. Mark's. We've got one church warden between the two churches when we could have up to four. So there are challenges, and we'll think a bit more about that later on. Just a quick word about our approaches as a church. You may remember, if you've been with us for a while, we used to have three approaches, how we go about being a Christ-centered community. So they were making disciples who make disciples, supporting mission in West Hull and beyond, and sending disciples to bless the Anlaby communities. As part of our conversations about the year ahead, the church councils felt we should change this to the four approaches that are listed on the handout. So sharing Jesus' love in Anlaby, growing disciples, nurturing leaders, multiplying passion for Jesus. I'll just say a quick word about each of those. So sharing Jesus' love in Anlaby, that's about outreach. It's about connecting with the community, showing God's love, drawing people into the life of the church. Think of Connect Cafe. Think of inviting people at Christmas. Second, growing disciples. That's about helping each other grow in faith together. Think of Deep as one example of that. Nurturing leaders, that's about helping people grow as leaders of God's people. The huddle of the St. Mark's leaders last year would be one example of that. Multiplying passion for Jesus. This is about starting new congregations of faith. Over the years, we've mainly been involved in that through our involvement with Hull 2030. It's really to encourage you, the leaders of Hull 2030, I'm one of the steering group, and we talked about the number of new churches that have been started in Hull over the last 6 or 7 years, and there are loads. It's really encouraging, but it would be wonderful for us to play a more active role in that. And the arrows of those four approaches show that there is a flow, a deliberate flow from one of those to the next. Okay, let's come to our passage for today. And you've probably guessed by now, this isn't going to be an expository message today, but we're going to look at this briefly. So the church councils believe we've come to a point in the life of the churches where it is appropriate to focus this year on looking outwards. By God's grace, we've been given something attractive, something people are looking for, so now is the time to share it with the wider community. You should be familiar with the triangle that's on the handout. Sorry that it's so small. But we've talked about this quite a bit, and we've really focused in recent years on the in and the up, growing in friendship and community, as well as in relationship with God. And we need to continue to do those, but it's also now appropriate to focus out towards the world. We might say that having received God's love from the spring of his grace, we're becoming a stream of love and grace, and we'd love that to become a river of love and grace flowing into the community and beyond. How does this happen? Well, in a number of ways, but our reading shows one important way in which it happens. And we can summarize it with just the simple words or the little phrase, come and see. John, at the start of his gospel, has been introducing Jesus to his readers to Jesus. He begins with the famous Christmas passage, those early verses that say that Jesus is the Word, he's God, and the Word became flesh, as we celebrated just a few days ago at Christmas. John then, or John the writer, then introduces us to John the Baptist. They're not the same person. John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. In verse 35, John is with some of his followers. He sees Jesus and he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And the two men go towards Jesus and ask him where he's staying. And he replies, "Come and you will see." And it's worth us just having this reading in front of us. I'm sorry the whole reading isn't on the sheet. So it's on page 1064 in the Bibles. It'd be worth opening the Bible at page 1064. Verse 39, Jesus says, "Come." They say, "Where are you staying?" Jesus says, "Come and you will see." They went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with Jesus. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who'd followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. We see that Jesus calls Philip to follow him. Verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Well, very briefly, what do we learn from these verses? Four quick things. You can note them down on the handout. First, come and see is a powerful invitation. That invitation leads to Andrew, Simon Peter, and Nathanael all coming to Jesus and getting to know him. Second, notice the power of a person's testimony about the impact Jesus has had on them. Three times in these verses, someone points another person to Jesus, telling them what they've discovered about him. So verse 36, John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And then verse 41, Andrew says to Simon, "We found the Messiah." And then verse 45, Philip finds Nathanael and says, "We found the one Moses wrote about and about whom the prophets also wrote." And each of us here also has a testimony about who Jesus is and the difference that he's made to our lives. Each of us can say to others, "Come and see the one who has done so much for us, who's made such a difference to my life." Third, Jesus is able to demonstrate that he's worth following. When he invites Andrew to come and see, and Andrew spends the rest of the day with him, he then goes to find Simon Peter to tell him, "We found the Messiah." What an amazing day with Jesus that must have been for that to be Andrew's response at the end of the day. And again, when Philip invites Nathanael to come and see, Nathanael ends up saying, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus can demonstrate when somebody comes to see that he is worth following. And then finally, of course, we can offer the same invitation today. We can also say, "Come and see. Come and see Jesus. Come and find out about him." And we do so confident that if the Holy Spirit is at work in that person, it will be worth it for them. Jesus will demonstrate that he's worth following. So with all that in mind, here are some possible ways forward for the year ahead. Just over the page on the handout, you'll see six ways forward. So first, pray regularly for three people who are not yet Christian. We've mentioned this many times over the years, but this year we'd like to make it something that we all, or encourage each other to make this something that we all focus on. Before Christmas, we spent a number of weeks thinking about prayer. We saw that prayer is powerful. God works through our prayers. When God wants to work, he often uses our prayers to bring about what he wants to do. So if we really love people and want them to come to know the love of God, we will pray for them. And one of the things that you've got in your pack is this little sheet headed Praying for Three People in 2025. And there's space, you'll see there's space to write down the names of three people. If you want to write down the names of more than three people, that's absolutely fine. Probably don't go more than five because it gets a bit diluted if you do. There's also a suggested prayer. And again, if you want to change your prayer, that's absolutely fine. But some people like to have a form of words to help them. And you'll see there are three main things we're praying for. We're praying for God's blessing on the person. We're praying that they would come to know Jesus, the true source of life and blessing. And we're praying that God would give us an opportunity to share Jesus with them, either through speaking of what Jesus means to us or through inviting them to something, through saying, come and see for yourself the difference Jesus makes. So can I suggest we just pause for a moment, and hopefully you've got a pen. If any names immediately come to mind of people who aren't Christians but who you would love to become a Christian, to come to know the difference Jesus makes, do write their names down. If you need to go away and think about it, then obviously that's absolutely fine. But just for a moment, if you want to write down the names of anyone that immediately comes to mind, do write their names down now. Do put it in your Bible or or prayer folder or wherever you normally put the things that you pray for. And then let's pray for those three people or five people each day and wait to see what God does. Second, invite others to experience our church community and the love of God. Obviously, this is linked to the first. As we're praying for opportunities to invite others, so those opportunities will arise, and as they do, we can take them. We've phrased this slightly differently in terms of the whole church and what we're seeking to do, because we're wanting to build a culture of inviting others so that it's just what we do as a church. But in the end, each of us individually will be doing the inviting. And so it's good at the start of this year to for each of us to receive this personal invitation to invite others. And we'd love to hear at this point from you if there are particular things that stop you from inviting others and how you feel about inviting others, so we can reflect on that and think about a way forward. So the other bit of paper is this one that's headed Come and See response form. And I'm going to ask you just to fill in part of it, and then in a moment the other part of it. And we'll take these in. Maybe if you could leave them on the seat furthest into the row, and I'll collect them up at the end. It's completely anonymous. Nobody will know who filled in what. So the first section, inviting people to a church event. How do you feel about inviting people you know who aren't yet Christians to a church service event? And then on a scale 0 to 5, where 0 is not at all, 5 is very much, what stops you, or what might stop you from inviting? And there's a few things there. So just for the next couple of minutes, if you'd like to fill that top section in, that would be really helpful. You can finish filling in the second one in a moment if you haven't finished yet. So the third one is playing my part in developing a culture of welcome. So we've thought about inviting others to a church service or event. But then what about when somebody who's new comes to an event or a church service? And we're not thinking here about the person that you invited, because hopefully if you invite someone, you will talk to them. But we're thinking about a completely new person who comes into the building on a Sunday or a special event. And the point here is we all have a role to play in welcoming them. See, if we're on welcome duty, we have a particular role. Our main focus is to make new people feel welcome. But even if we're not officially welcoming, we can still make people welcome. If someone sat next to us or behind us that we don't know, we can talk to them before the service at the end. We can smile. It's amazing what a difference a smile makes. We can introduce them to other people. When research is done into why people don't come back to church a second time when they've been a first time, the main reason is usually nobody spoke to me, nobody made me welcome. And we are a very welcoming church, but I think we can always increase that. So again, on the response form, there are some questions, and do just answer those questions anonymously under welcoming people at church. Coming, but I'm going to leave it till the notices at the end. So if I don't say something about welcoming in the notices at the end, please remind me. I was going to do it now, but I'll move on. So number four, continue to find other ways to connect with the Anlaby communities in partnership with ACT. So we've got a number of ways in which we do connect with the Anlaby communities through the year. There's Connect Cafe, the community garden, here, the missional community, the all-age service on the fourth Sunday of the month, schools ministry, but we're open to finding other ways that we can connect as well. And we talked, you might remember, 6 months ago as we were thinking about the missional community, we talked about finding people of peace, people in the community who are sympathetic towards the church, who we can work with to serve and reach the community. And let's keep praying that God would reveal those to us. And if you have ideas for how we can be connecting with the community, then please do share them with me or with a member of the church councils. Fifth, seeking God as to what he's saying to us at the Anlaby churches. Jesus is Lord of the church, and we need to be seeking him as to how he's leading us as a church. There's lots we'd love to be able to do. There's lots we are doing. But as I've already mentioned, we do need to recognise we're currently operating beyond our limit. So I've already mentioned finances. Church councils are in the process of agreeing a budget for 2025. As it stands, our costs are significantly higher than our income. Unless our income increases, the fact is we won't be able to sustain the building and staff costs we're currently paying for the long term. And then in terms of keeping going with oversight and with church buildings, we're very grateful for everyone who serves in the churches and the church buildings. But again, at the moment, we don't have enough people. So for example, we've got one church warden for two churches. And in terms of the St. Mark's building team, nearly all of those who serve on the St. Mark's building team actually worship at St. Peter's. So in short, if we're going to continue to do all that we're currently doing, and indeed more, we will need to grow in number, in our finances, and in people taking up roles. If we're not able to do that, there's no shame in not being able to, but we may need to reduce what we do. We will be having a larger conversation about this in the coming months, but it's good to just get that out into the open as we think about the year ahead. But the big thing is, what part can each of us play? We all have a part to play, and we're all in this together. It's not that this is something for somebody else to think about. It's something for all of us to be thinking about. As we think about growth, we can all consider, as we've already said, inviting others to join us, our financial giving, our serving, and so on. As we ask how God's leading us, he might lead us through somebody in this room, not necessarily through me. And so we need to ask him to be leading us. It's also worth just saying that if you've joined us since June, we last thought about the financial situation in June. So you may not have had anyone speak to you about the financial giving and so on. So if that is you, then do by all means have a word with me or with Shannon afterwards. Finally, other matters. There are lots of things we could talk about, but there are two particularly I'd like to briefly mention. So one is that for a while we've been talking about employing a children and youth worker. And by God's grace, we've got enough funds set apart to employ somebody for a couple of years. We've applied for some other grants which may enable us to employ someone for 3 years. And over the next month or two, we're hoping to advertise and recruit someone. So do please be praying for that whole process. And then the Church of England. There's lots to be thankful for being part of the Church of England, but there are also challenges. And there are two big ones in particular at the moment. So the thing that's been in the news, you'll be aware of, is the safeguarding failings at a national level. And locally, we're very grateful for all the hard work that's done by Joe Hepworth and by others in ensuring that the Annaby churches are a safe place to worship. And we're committed to making sure that continues to be the case. And then second, the current debates around the prayers of love and faith and human sexuality. And you may be aware things are moving quite fast. We'll hear more in February about what's being proposed at the February General Synod. Please do pray for myself, for the church councils, as we consider how to respond. And do keep praying for the Alliance and for the Church of England Evangelical Council as they guide a coalition of evangelicals in staying together at this very challenging time. We've thought about quite a lot, so please do take some time to reflect on all of this later. Do take the handout away and pray about it and reflect on it and your part in it. But as we close, let's just go back to our passage and welcome back to the children. Verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. He found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Let's pray that this coming year we would each be like Philip, inviting others to come and see for themselves all that we've discovered in the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Our Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to invite others to come and see what we have discovered. And we pray there would be many in the Annaby communities who are able to come and see the difference Jesus makes to life in the year ahead. And we ask in his name. Amen.